Welcome to the fourth episode of Let's Chat with a Dyslexic. I'm a dyslexic and I've had a chat with my best mate Adam about it. We talked honestly, so we covered adult themes and used strong language. Last episode, we covered issues I have today, grammar Nazis and work. This episode covers more of my weaknesses and insecurities. This week's episode is dedicated to Adam, my best mate. Whenever I have a crazy idea, he grounds it and helps me make it reality. And is always there with an inappropriate joke, just as it's needed.
Just to try and kind of sum up all your kind of problems. You struggle with words. Do you struggle with individual letters? Or is that something that's relatively simple?
Yes, I would say I still struggle with them. I can do them, but I think I would still feel anxious going to the opticians and having to do the board. I could do it, and it's quite easy, but I would feel anxious doing
it. Okay.
I would think in my head, am I going to get them? Now, I've got good eyesight, and they've always said it's good, so I must always be okay at it.
Either that, or you're just really, really good at remembering. Do you struggle with the likes of numbers?
Well, I can't do maths for shit. I can't count.
I mean, is that because you just crap at maths, or is that
yeah. anything? Like, I know a number. If you put a number there, I know it's 6, it's a 7, it's a thingy. But if you were to high numbers at me to remember...
So could you, say, identify a large number easier than you could identify a large word?
No, I would have to really... If say, it was like 6,769 or something like that, I'd really have to look at it and process it and go, all right, that's 1,000, so then it's 100, so it'd be that it's actually 11,000, so it's 11,100 and 6 or whatever. That would take me time to think about and would be like a little mini challenge to us. I'd get there, but I wouldn't be confident saying it.
Yeah.
So I would quite often just read out the number to you. You might have noticed if I've said a number to you. Most of the time, I will just read out what the number is, like some sort of robot of 10629.
I mean, I've noticed that, but I just thought it's because it's the easier way rather than, you know, an active decision.
Because it's like that, I'm not 100% confident it's right. Where if I give you the numbers, you've got to do maths.
Yeah. I mean, you say you've got clumsiness, you lose things, you break things. Is there anything else that we've kind of missed that is encompassed?
I'm trying to think. It's hard to think about in terms of what am I shite at, basically. And the list's endless of things I'm shite at. But I don't know how many of them and where what degree they are and things like that. Certainly the organisational skills, I'm not very organised. Time is a problem. I have been known to turn up places an hour early quite regularly or pick people up and people be like, "Where the fuck are you here?" And I know the time. I can tell the time. But I'll just get that mixed up sometimes in my head, especially if it's something I'm excited for. And I have, you know, there's been many a times where me to get timings right of things... I'll often over-egg it. So if we were to say, go to the pub at... Maybe not the pub, but we're going proper out. We're going, like, to Newcastle at 7. My preparation would probably, in my mind, I would get anxious if I was out and I wasn't back by 5. Because in my mind, that's too close together.
Yeah.
And that's because concept of time sometimes is just...
Time is a hard one to grasp sometimes. And I think some people get it a lot better than others.
On 24-hour... times, I've still got to.
Yeah,
I've got certain milestones. I always know. I know when 7 o'clock is because that's normally when we'd go to the pub. But I've got to work. I've often got to work from 7 o'clock. I know that's 1900, and I will work the different ways. I know 5 o'clock is 1700 because that's when I finish work.
Yeah.
So that then, in my mind, I've then got to go. Oh, it's 1600. What's that? Oh, that's an hour away from.
Yeah.
So that's how. So I would tell you the time of 4 o'clock by how far away it is from 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or if we were around about the 7 o'clock, and then I know that 9 o'clock is 21, but I'm not as sure about that one. And that's my other marker, and that always fucks us up. And then once I'm getting past that, luckily I don't need to know the time that often.
Yeah.
Around about that time, because I'm out and we're just going to go to whenever.
I mean, the last daft thing is a lot of people talk about dyslexia being you can't read dog and God. You get them mixed up. Is that a real thing?
It's that whole thing of, oh, a dyslexic. And it's this whole narrative that I think people have played of dyslexic. Oh, the words jumble around. Well, they do when I'm tired, but them words on them screen are absolutely fixed. They're not moving anywhere that I'm reading off that screen. There's problems there, I know that, but they are fixed there. So words like that, I don't have a problem with. I think very early on, but about the same age that any child would have, like, D and J. This is where I look like a night idiot. I'm trying to remember the letters. B and D.
Oh, B. Yeah, I used to get them mixed up.
But that's every, and then that's another thing at that age, and that's where that fallacy I think comes from a lot of the time, is every kid at that age, at the age that you're working out problems, yeah, it was a problem at one point. At the time, and this is probably the first little dyslexic life hack, was the whole bed thing that I came up with myself in my head. And it's a one that a lot of dyslexics use and teachers use, and the way the bed is makes the word. So you starts with B, bed, that starts the word. You then have the middle
E.
It's this sort of situation where I'm having to think of a word that I could write a million times, but because it's now getting hyper looked at,
you're
splitting it out. That middle letter was just completely, so I could see the word, but that letter there was as if somebody marked it out and was saying you can't see that letter.
Yeah.
And something so straightforward as that, and it can happen to words I've spent a million times. I've had times where I can't spell the.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? This is ridiculous. How's that? And that's a perfect example of that. So yeah, that was a crutch that then showed you my special mind.
Do you get the same as what everybody else gets though? If you look and type the same word over and over again, it starts to look wrong.
Well, yeah, but that's, I'll write a word. You've got to remember, if I write a word once, I think it looks wrong and it could be right. See, the good thing about spell checker is at least it says that I've put a correct word there. It might not be the correct word for the sentence, but at least I'm somewhere, I've put a word in there.
And, I mean, the last thing on these show notes is just famous dyslexic people and dyslexia on TV. Like, covered everything.
I think it's just, it sort of like puts that whole myth of what dyslexic is in terms of stupid boy finds out he's dyslexic, get some help, fantastic.
Yeah.
Or you become famous, you know, you're a famous person, you've got it. They show like a little bit of the thing, but they don't show like in absolutely in depth. The only time I have really, really seen that was in Orange is the New Black. Spoilers here, and I know you haven't seen it, but I know you've seen earlier episodes, but not this episode. But Pennsylvania, they find out she's dyslexic. She goes to do some tests, and she's given extra time. They don't apply for that, so she can't get it. Feels the angst, the stupidity, and the failings of the systems, so she overdoses. And then, quite nicely, she then passes it. That's, you know, the normal trait of that. And that's one of the few times where I've actually seen it. Well, I think this is the true effects of the conclusion of what this can do to you.
Yeah.
That I think is something that this is, it is often just simplified as this whole thing of you can't read, that's the only problem. As long as reading isn't involved, you're going to go throughout your life. When I'm sitting at the pub, there's no problem. And I think that is what most people see.
Whereas there's a lot more to it that is not inherently obvious, because that's not what typically manifests and is shown. You get a lot of defense mechanisms around the other problems because they're, I don't know, it sounds like your other problems are actually partly situational and sometimes self-manifested. You probably see them as a much bigger problem than they're ever going to be, so you work around them and you sit there and you figure a workaround and you've worked around it, so it's no longer a problem as long as you can work around it. Whereas the likes of the traditional you struggle to read and write isn't hard to work, isn't easy to work around, because that's you do A and you can only do A. There isn't a B. There isn't a way around reading a book. You have to read the book. If you're told to write something, there's no other way around of writing it.
Like the writing, the writing is the syphilitic sores, if you had syphilis.
Yeah.
You can see them. You can understand that. So if I got me John Thomas out and said, oh, look at these, you could say, oh, look, that's the syphilis. You couldn't see the bits that was actually eating your body away and killing you or and stuff like that.
I mean, like your clumsiness and losing things, that is not something that is, you wouldn't even necessarily know you're doing it.
But it wasn't, and a lot of these things was, it took me the other year to do a little bit more research into dyslexia, genuinely look into it properly, and watch a couple of documentaries. We'll put in all the show notes, I'm sure, because there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
To make you, for me to understand and spend a hell of a lot of time researching it and finding good quality documentation that didn't just say the same old thing, because so much of it is designed with the idea that dyslexia is something that's for children.
Yeah.
And when you think of a dyslexic, you think of a child. But no, you've got it all your life. All you can do is manage it better and better and better and hide it better and better and better.
Because once you pass childhood, you're then part of society and nobody cares about your problems if you can function.
Yeah.
Which is why I think you don't hear about a lot of problems in adulthood, you know?
And I think that's it. This is one problem, and by no means do I think this is the most pressing issue in the world. I don't think, you know, I will get by with life. I will be a bit miserable occasionally because I feel a bit stupid, but ultimately it's not going to be that much of a negative stuff. There's so many more conversations we need with people so that we listen and we learn and we hear what they go through. Because as soon as you know what somebody goes through, I think you can then... So do you think that there's certain things that you've heard today where you might not act differently, but maybe consider things differently?
I think, sure, there's definitely times, you know, like when you tell me to go to the bar because it's my round, I won't call you a cheap. And I know it's because it's your dyslexia now. It's not that you don't want to spend the money on the beer. It's that you're dyslexic.
Sometimes I don't want to spend the money on the beer. But you'll find that if it's because of poverty, I'm more likely to tell you it's because of poverty. I would more prefer to go to a bunch of people and say, can you buy this round because I've got no money in the bank account?
Yeah.
Then I would prefer to tell you that because I can't do that.
Thinking back, there is definitely times I can remember you saying, ah, oh, it's my round, here's my card, just grab what people want, and you disappearing. And after you now telling me, I'm like, actually, yeah, I can see you kind of slinking off and going to the toilet or whatever, because this situation meant you were going to have to remember 5 or 6 drinks. And although they might not be overly complex, it might be 5 or 6 of the same, it's that going into a bar, it's loud, it's busy, it's already a bad environment to try.
You've got alcohol in us, because as you said, listening to my reading a text off me if I've had a drink.
Yeah.
All them things are heightened at that point. And there's a million more of them. I think I could talk for hours and hours and hours and try and remember all these little nuances that I've had to develop, where I know that I come across certain ways and it's got nothing to do with that. And I know I've got a reputation for not buying rounds. I know I have. But that shame is better than the shame of getting it wrong with a stranger.
I mean,
it's easier to own.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think...
Well, it's a mix, isn't it? Because sometimes it is because I'm skint. But sometimes it's because of that. If you think of me as a person, I'm a generous person. You come around my house.
Yeah.
You can empty my fridge and I'll spend as much money as possible. It's not a...
I think there's definitely parts where you probably bear the pressure a lot heavier than what it actually is, because you've grown up with it and you've tried to work around a situation when you were younger, and now you're an adult, you see the similar situations, but actually it's not as pressing and as disastrous as what your childhood brain would have come up with. But now as an adult, that's all you can think of, the real severe negatives of the situation. Like, realistically, if you got something wrong in front of a stranger, what's the matter? You're never going to see the stranger again. Who cares what they think about you? Like, realistically, that's the side of the way I would think. And
but so would you feel comfortable if you were in front of just some random stranger and your kecks fell out and your John Thomas was there?
Oh, God, no.
Just flopping about.
No. I'd be devastated. But in the same way...
That's what it feels like to me with some of the words.
Would I do it freely? No. But if it happened, in the same way, I'd be like, well, I'm never going back there again.
But I have to go back to these bars and things like that. And that's just one example, yeah. I've used quite a lot here, but it's just thingy. But that's how it feels like to me, is there's a good chance if I go up to a bar, there's like the chances of my metaphorical pants coming down and my little mushroom of a penis coming out.
But that's you weighing a lot on that, when realistically you getting a word wrong, nobody's ever going to remember that. That's not going to be... any form.
But they do, because you hear the cyanide, the snide little, like,
sure.
And it's all in the tone. And
at the end of the day, they're never going to remember it. It's not reflected on you anything past.
Yeah, but if you've had your entire childhood where you've been told you're stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember, I've been told of many, many people I'm stupid.
I think a lot of it is definitely from past experiences, from the way you perceive the problem yourself. It's not to lower the problem, because it is a problem to you, but in the same way you've built that problem up and up and up, and
that's it. It's all these little things that take you back to that classroom situation. The whole grammar Nazi thing brings you back to that situation, the getting a word wrong in the tone.
Yeah,
it's just the tone.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody that might just sort of say, oh no, it was this. Yeah. Oh no, it's this. That's fine. That tone is fine. The tone is where the problem is. And I think it's just, if I had any message, it would just be, realise that people can't do certain things. If you can do it, doesn't mean you're any better.
Yeah. You wouldn't ask a disabled person to get up and walk.
Yeah. I don't want to compare dyslexia to that sort of stuff.
But it's just something as simple in terms of, if a disabled person couldn't get up a step, somebody wouldn't just go, oh, it's just a little step.
And I think now we're getting to the point where, like, mental health is getting a bit, and people are realising you don't tell somebody to cheer you up. There's a lot more going on in the mind than necessarily at the focus.
Yeah.
And in that discussion needs to be things like dyslexia, so people start going, actually, there's something there, it's something more, this guy or this girl might be doing lot more things than we realise.
Walking that person's shoes to truly understand that person.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it? I don't know what it's like living like you. And you might have a completely worse life than me that you keep hidden and things like that that we've never discussed. I can't say that my life is any worse or any better than anybody else's. But I just know that there's certain things that I think if I talk about could actually help other people more, and that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
Everything I've said today in this discussion, I'd like it to help somebody else. Either they go, oh, I feel like that.
Yeah.
Or somebody listens and goes, actually, I see that in somebody else, or somebody else does something all the time. Is there a reason behind it? Is there a reason why somebody's a cheapskate at the bar? Is there a reason why somebody doesn't do that job? Or when they do that job, it's always the last job they do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a workplace. And do we need to have a discussion with that person and say, oh, I see you leave that last. Is there a reason behind it? And if they turn around and say, actually, this job makes me put a horrible ball in the bottom of my stomach. Then they turn around and go, well, how can we either stop that ball being so tight? Is there something we can do? Or can we give that job to somebody else and we'll give you a different job with just as equal in the company, just as equal responsibility, time, effort and everything.
Yeah.
Because there's jobs that I know that I do regularly that could quite easily be given to somebody else and they would do it fine. But for me, it's absolutely, you know, I'll not sleep the night before. I'll put it off and put it off. And in my mind, that is a massive bit of the working day, is how can I put that task off? How can I put that particular task off? Because it's going to make me feel really horrible inside. Because it's going to give us bad emotions of past stuff. Or I might feel like it's going to put more chinks in the armour.
Yeah.
You're just going to make a far, far better workplace for that sort of. And I've got to repeat, my workplace has been very good about it. These are problems across most workplaces. This is a personal thing to me of I'm sure if I put my hand up and properly explained in the right manner, it would be okay. But to do that is a big ask for somebody.
Yeah.
This week's episode was dedicated to Adam, my bass mate. Whenever I have a crazy idea, he grounds it and helps me make it reality. Always there with an inappropriate joke, just as it's needed. You've been listening to Let's Chat with a Dyslexic, a chat between Phil and Adam, and then edited by Phil. It was a Formal Shark production.